Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Fantasy Foot Beer Podcast. I'm James Kemp, joined as always by my good friend and fierce fantasy rival, Dr. Michael Stewart. Dr. Stu, how's it going, Mike?
Oh, it's going all right. It's a lovely Friday evening for us today. This is April 17th. Very happy for the weekend, very happy to not be at work, and very excited to talk about all the questions we have about the upcoming season. But before we do any of that, James, I do want to know how you are doing tonight.
I'm doing all right. I just got some new glasses today. So these are my first glasses with the official Dr. Stu prescription.
And you hate them already, don't you?
No, I like them. It takes a little. Anytime you get new glasses, it takes about a week to get used to them. I'd say as a lifelong corrective lens user, but I think they look pretty classy.
Sure,
but we do have the FAQ episode today. We've got a list of questions. We're going to get through as many as we can in 30 minutes. Knowing us, we've got, I want to say, close to like 20 questions here. We could probably do this whole thing in like two questions and just keep talking about them. But we're going to try to not do that. But before we get into those questions, Stu, what are you drinking this evening?
Well, I have the second of two beers that you dropped off here at my house when you were passing through, what was it, like a month and a half ago, something like that. This is the third anniversary from Sturdy Shelter Brewing. You know, if you're a faithful listener of the podcast, you'll know that Sturdy Shelter Brewing appears more than pretty much anything else. But this is their third anniversary bourbon barrel-aged stout. It is a 12.7% ABV, so I'm looking forward to feeling it by the end of the episode. And it's honestly just getting me excited for Dark Lord Day, James. We're only a month out from doing that. That'll be really exciting. But I do want to hear how you're doing. I know how you're doing. You're doing good, as always. What are you drinking tonight?
Man, just mentioning Dark Lord Day is getting me super excited. I can't wait. Municipal Waste is going to be awesome. But I am also drinking a stout and also a pretty strong one. I am drinking from the Alesmith Brewing Company, their Speedway Stout. Now, they are a California-based craft brewery. And they do have a line of beers called the Speedway Stout. I have reviewed one of their Speedway Stouts before. This one is the German Chocolate Cake Speedway Stout. So it is an imperial stout with cocoa nibs, toasted coconut, roasted pecans, and coffee. And it is a 12.0 ABV. So we're going strong and we're going dark today. So, Stu, let's open this bad boy in 3, 2, 1.
Cheers. I already opened it. So yeah. It had wax over the thing. I wasn't going to try to struggle through that on the air.
It's really nice opening a bottle that has wax on it, though. Just like it makes you work a little bit more, but you feel really fancy for it. But, Stu, we have questions, and they are put into five different categories. So we've got beginner, intermediate, and expert. Those are all like nuts and bolts questions. And then we have fantasy culture questions, and we have predictive questions. So things that are actually about players. So I think we should start with beginner questions. And we've already answered one of these questions on the air. So we've got three. We'll pick two of them, and then we'll move to the next one. So I will start by picking one for you. If I want to play fantasy football, but I don't know anyone who plays and don't want to run a league, how can I get started?
Well, there are plenty, plenty, plenty of free leagues that you can join on the various platforms. The three main platforms, at least that I'm familiar with, Sleeper is out there and probably the most popular at this point. There's ESPN and Yahoo. All have reasonably decent platforms. My personal favorite, just for nostalgia, is ESPN, but you can find plenty of free leagues to just join and play if maybe you don't really mind not really interacting, or I mean, the competition on those is generally subpar because people will treat them as just a draft simulator. They might make some changes to their lineup throughout the season, but if you really, really need something and you're up against it, you could find free leagues on any platform. But mostly what you'll do to find reasonably good competition and maybe foster even some friendships, meet some new people, there are plenty of online discourse places. Like the big one, at least that I'm thinking about, is Reddit. You can find people on these sorts of social medias, people that are looking to fill out a dynasty league, people that are looking to add people that lost a bunch of their friends and they just want, you know, to fill some teams. And you'll be able to find people that are fun, hopefully that they are welcoming, and you can just have a good old time with them playing fantasy football. And just try not to put money on it right away, because you will get scammed a lot. Just do it for fun and try to meet some good, reputable, wholesome people, and maybe you can even find yourself a league that you stay in for years to come.
Nice. But
yeah. Succinct.
Always good to ask around too. Like, you may assume that no one you know likes football and wants to play fantasy football, but you never know. Some of the people who've had the most fun with fantasy football, in my experience, are people who don't have any experience with football, period. So always just ask around and see what you got. All right, Stu, your turn.
Yeah, it's going to be the worst when you play with people that don't watch football and then they just auto-draft and throw in a random crap into their lineup and you spend all the time researching and thinking about things and then you lose anyway.
Yeah,
it's a great game that we play, James. But the next...
It hurts, but it happens to all of us.
Beginner-style question for you. This is one that I'm glad you didn't ask me because I don't know what it means. But how can I start planning to play fantasy football in the office season?
Okay,
I don't know what you mean by the office season. Is this like the office US or the office UK?
Well, I would encourage our UK listeners out there to start playing fantasy football as well. I actually know some people in the US here who have English football fantasy leagues. I have been invited to it, and I haven't given it. I haven't outright refused it. I just haven't done it yet. But anyway, how can I start planning to play fantasy football in the office season? Start talking about it now. Anytime anything interesting in the fantasy offseason, well, football offseason happens, it's a great time to get the ball rolling. So we are a couple weeks out from the draft. Next week is our draft preview episode. Take that opportunity wherever you are in the country. Start talking about football a little bit. Start talking about what people know and just start laying the seeds of fantasy football. Now is when you start it, but when you really dive into it is going to be like early August, maybe even late July, I would say. Then you start seeing who has retained that fantasy football talk, that football period talk, and who wants to throw down there. And I have never seen anyone in a work setting who didn't want to have a work fantasy football league. Now, that's obviously probably not a 100% true thing, but people love having opportunities to either have more leagues or be competitive with their coworkers in a relatively non-threatening way. But I will say, my last, work league I ever played in, I went undefeated and won the championship. And I was teaching at that time, and the person who I played in the championship was our school librarian, and she was very excited, and she's one of my fantasy football success stories of getting people into fantasy football who didn't have any experience with it. But just start talking about it and lay those seeds, and that's how you do that.
Mm-hmm. It's the most important thing you said was competition in a relatively non-threatening manner. I did love that little addition there, because who doesn't want to be competitive with their coworkers? Who doesn't want to show them who's boss every now and again. I can't really do that. I work with four ladies who don't watch football at all, so I don't know if I'll be able to lay enough groundwork to get them to form an office league. But still fun. All right,
I'll
hit me with
your
next one.
I'll join your iDoctor Fantasy Football League.
If you want. All you have to do is pass boards and get licensed.
Does it... Well, I wear glasses. Is that enough?
You have more. You honestly have more than most, because your little blurb at the beginning about getting used to glasses is exactly what we recommend to people, outside of one little tip. If you are getting new glasses and you wear glasses currently, wait until the following day to really put them on and wear them. Like a new, fresh morning, that's going to feel the best for a new glasses prescription. Don't wear your glasses that you've had for half the day and then switch to the new ones, because you're going to feel that a little bit more and you're going to be less open to the new prescription, whether it's correct for you or not. Anyway.
I haven't thought about that. That is really good advice.
Football question. Hit me.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to the intermediate questions. So, should I consider drafting injury-prone players? This feels like a complex question, so take it away.
Absolutely. Complexities abound in here, because it's, of course, you know, going to be a case-by-case basis, but you should, in my opinion, consider drafting injury-prone players, you know, heavily. Not like going out of your way to take players with that moniker of injury-prone, but I personally don't believe injury-prone is a thing. I just don't think it's a thing. You could maybe say it on very rare occasions, but let's look at one super high-profile person that people consider to be injury-prone, and that's Christian McCaffrey. He just got off of a season where he was the RB1, and he had something like 400 opportunities, but people were so worried about him going into the drafts last year, given that he's a little bit older, he's missed some time with injuries, can you really trust something like that, yada, yada, yada. But if you went for it, you really paid off. I mean, you could even draft players that are currently injured. Like, there is a time and place coming up in these 2026 drafts that you should draft George Kittle. You should draft Malik Nabers. Malik Nabers could very well be a top one or two round draft pick, and you don't even really know what you're going to get, but they're going to be at some level of a discount, and that is attractive enough for me, and I hope for you all out there to consider getting these injured or quote injury prone players, because truthfully it is an incredibly violent game that they play. You could pick one person who's never been injured in their entire career, and then they tear their ACL in week two. Like, it is all luck, crapshoot. You can't project injuries. Nobody can see the future. Injury prone is just, in my opinion, a myth. James, here, let me hear your thoughts on this question as well, because it's, yeah, like you said, it's broad, it's nuanced, there's a lot of different angles you could take to it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to add too much to it, but I would say that I generally agree that the injury prone moniker doesn't really exist, but what does exist is number of specific types of injuries times severity of injuries times time. Football players, compared to athletes in other sports, don't have very long careers, and it's because of the violence of the game and how injuries tend to stack up, and also just how many people are filling in behind them to take their jobs. So, if you do have a exceptionally talented player like Christian McCaffrey, they can continue to rise above those injuries. Some other guys, at times, maybe not. So just consider each player with their injury as a complete package of the individual. The injury doesn't make the player, but the number of injuries with how long it's been might. But yeah, ask me a question now, Stu.
Absolutely. I'm excited you get this one, because this one came from your own wife, the lovely Kelsey. How much does a player's team factor into their fantasy football value?
Usually a ton. It really always, because no player ever operates in a vacuum, right? It's like I always say, when you're drafting quarterbacks, you're not just drafting the quarterback, you're also drafting their offensive line. And that is true of really every player as well. When you're drafting a running back, not only are you drafting that guy, you're also drafting their coaches and coordinators and the schemes that they're running. You're drafting their offensive line as well. You're drafting the defenses they're playing against. And same with receivers. You have to have a quarterback who's going to get you the ball. I mean, there's really no better example of this than Justin Jefferson having to operate with J.J. McCarthy last season. It was a non-starter. He had a terrible season despite being arguably a top two wide receiver in the NFL. So a player's team is enormous in determining their value. I wouldn't say it's everything. Obviously, the individual players have to bring their own skill and expertise to the table as well. But if you don't have a supporting cast that can kind of set the table for them to be successful, it's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's 100% exactly as you say. An offense that is able to score is going to be inherently better for your fantasy players' value, whether they're doing the scoring or not. Like, the one I was thinking about as you were chatting was Ashton Jeanty, who's a consensus top overall draft pick in the real NFL draft. He ended up being in the first round or early second round of fantasy drafts, but then the Las Vegas Raiders were the worst offensive team in 2025. And we didn't expect this. We didn't expect Geno Smith to be truly the most horrific thing that's ever happened to the Las Vegas Raiders outside of Pete Carroll. But for Jeanty, who had all the opportunity, all the pedigree, all the everything going for him, for that team to be as poor as it was, he still finished, I think he was what, like the RB12 or something. So overall, quite disappointing for where you drafted him, most likely. But to do that in spite of a team that is truly dreadful, truly inefficient, and just having a lost season. I mean, there's a reason they're getting Fernando Mendoza in the first selection of this draft. For him to do that is really, really impressive, but it is just a testament to how much better it could have been if he were on, gosh, I don't know, the team that's occurring to me is like the Bills. If he were in James Cook's position on the Bills, he would be undoubtedly amazing, truly. So yes, speaking of Ashton Jeanty, he's going to be undervalued going into drafts this year. You should draft Ashton Jeanty, in my opinion.
I would agree with that. All right, Stu, you ready for an expert level question?
Oh, I've been an expert for a long time. I can handle any expert questions you got for me.
All right, I think I'm going to give you what I would consider to be the toughest one on the list here. How do you evaluate and predict the performance of a player going to a new team?
You do your darn best. You have to use the portfolio of the player, of what you've seen so far. You have to assess exactly how that previous offense worked. One that's occurring to me right away off the top of my head is like the DJ Moore. How are we predicting what DJ Moore is going to do now that he's been traded to the Bills versus what he had in Chicago? What is the relative competition that he moved from and is now going towards? We talked about this on a couple episodes ago, that DJ Moore was getting phased out of that Chicago Bears offense. They had options like Luther Burden. They had options like Colston Loveland. The other wide receiver whose name I'm spacing on, help me out, Chicago guy. Who am I thinking of?
Dunze.
Yes, Adunze, Roma Dunze, perfect. Now he goes to Buffalo with far less competition, a better quarterback. You would expect this to all be very, very positive for him. The real only detractors are age, essentially, so, and the downward trend of his career so far in the last couple seasons. So you just really do the best that you can. You have to look at what you know, and you have to look at the other team with what you know. We don't know what they're going to be together. It could be completely awful, but I'm high on DJ Moore going into the season, playing with Josh Allen and in a really good offense. That's what you really only can do, is take what you know, take what they did most recently, and then, in a lesser extent, look over their entire you know, career? Are they being sent to a new location because they were playing poorly, or did they sign for money, or did they sign for an opportunity to win a Super Bowl? Like Mike Evans going to San Francisco, we can project a lot of red zone touches. This is an efficient offense that is now lacking George Kittle as a offensive and red zone threat. Now Mike Evans, who has always excelled in contested catches and red zone opportunities, with a, I'm not going to call him mediocre, he's a better than average quarterback in Brock Purdy, gets to play with Christian McCaffrey. There's not anything too exciting to talk about in the wide receiver room. I mean, Juwan Jennings is not there anymore. You got Ricky Pearsall, who has shown flashes, but that's really it. Mike Evans should have good success in San Francisco. And hopefully I'm just giving examples of the greater overarching strategy that I outlined. But you could take that on a case-by-case basis. There are some places we're excited to see new players, and we can attempt to predict good outcomes, but ultimately you just do the best you can. James, how are you feeling about this one? Did I do okay as an expert? It really just said, like, I don't really know, and you don't really know. That's my expert opinion.
No, I think you did a good job. I said going in, this is probably not only the toughest question on the list, but probably the toughest thing for not just a fantasy expert, a fantasy anybody to do. Because we've seen so many examples of this going either way. We've seen stars go to new teams and become nothing. And we've seen meh players go to new teams and become superstars. And it does kind of highlight how much a player's team affects their value. And it's so hard to predict. Like we saw Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley both go to new teams and immediately have success. And I think it's almost more volatile for like wide receivers, because just guys who come to mind, it's a little bit of an old one, but like Andre Johnson, like after leaving the Texans as one of like, I believe he finished that last season with the Texans as a top six wide receiver in fantasy football. And then he goes to the Colts and he's out of the league 2 years later without much impact. And there's many, many more examples. That was just the first one that came to my mind. But it's, if the problem confuses you, it's because it confuses literally everyone. And it's one of the big things of why we listen to fantasy football podcasts, is get people's takes on this stuff. But Stu, your turn to ask a question.
Yes, and I'm going to ask the one that I think it would be a crying shame if we walked out of this episode and did not ask, because it's in the expert column. I put it in the expert column because it is going to take a stiff upper lip in 2026 drafts. Do you pass on Justin Jefferson in the first round?
One, it depends on where my drafts, where my draft position is, and two, how deep my draft is. But I would almost in all cases say yes. And that is kind of against the grain of what I've been seeing recently. I've seen most people saying that with the addition of Kyler Murray, and even without the addition of Kyler Murray, Justin Jefferson still remains such a talented guy that you can't pass on him. But I just, after last season, I have a lot of questions. Most of it is around the quarterback position, but I would feel much more comfortable taking Justin Jefferson in the second. If I'm in a 12-team draft and I'm sitting toward the end, if I'm in like the 9, 10, 11 range, I'm going to pass on him and see if I can get him in the second. And if I don't get him in the second, I might not feel that bad about it. I am very... So I feel good about Kyler Murray going to the Vikings. And that's one of our predictive questions, too. It kind of leans into that as well. But we've talked about it a little bit in other episodes, I believe. But Kyler Murray may not be a great quarterback. I think that having this new digs with Kevin O'Connell, the known quarterback whisperer, should be able to extract a little bit of value and talent out of him. But as of right now, I'm not drafting Justin Jefferson in the first round. How about you, buddy?
It's a really difficult question. It's one of those that I feel similarly to you, that I would more like to attempt to try to let him fall and then be, you know, like completely okay if somebody at the 10, 11, or 12 took him. Just say, oh, he didn't fall. Okay, you can have him. Like, good for you. I'll take the people that I'm more confident in. But there's a line in these wide receivers. I was just trying to think through rankings or something, and I was coming across the name Amon-Ra St. Brown as a comp to Justin Jefferson's, like, am I going to go St. Brown? Am I going to go Jefferson? And that's a harder question for me, because I do believe to some extent that Kyler Murray can support Justin Jefferson, and the talent of Justin Jefferson can flourish in this offense. It really should work out, but we also thought that it would work out with JJ McCarthy, and we talk about, you know, the quarterback whisperer. It's for every quarterback except for JJ McCarthy, and now we're getting a nebulous prospect of an aged, he's not super old, but he's not ever shown himself to be super elite in a true NFL football kind of sense, Kyler Murray has. And now he's been ousted from a team in Arizona that's not looking like it's going to be competitive this year. And now we think he's just going to step in and lead the Vikings and Justin Jefferson to true success and fantasy football production. There's good reason to doubt, in my opinion. I think it can and will work, but I would be not upset at all if Justin Jefferson did not fall out of the first round and come back to me around the turn. It's just a hard question, and that's just the end and bottom line, James. It's a tough one, which really sucks, because Justin Jefferson has been so good for so long, and his talent is not to be denied. It's just, like we keep talking about, the situation and the team. So hit me with another one. We've got a couple more minutes here.
All right, so we've already hit half of our predictive questions just in answering other questions. So I really want to get into a fantasy culture question, because we're going to answer the other two predictive questions in later episodes. Sure. But these fantasy culture questions are all about kind of the metagame of fantasy football. It's not about the players. It's not about anything like that. It's about you having fun with fantasy football. And some of these questions are a little real. But I'll hit you with the first one on the list here. How do I come up with a team name?
Okay, so first off, let me just go against the grain and say, stop using puns based on players' names. If I have to see another two girls, one K-U-P-P name, I'm going to lose it. Like, these are not inventive, they're usually not funny, and they are overplayed.
I mostly agree with you. I like 85% agree with you.
It's just, some of them are really, really played out, and I'm over it. Your team name, look, you're going to pick a name, and it's not going to mean much to you right then. It's with time, established time, going forward into the future, that the more you play under this name, the more you're going to appreciate it. You should have a franchise name. Now, whether you change it every year, that's your prerogative, but you should have a franchise name. And I'm always going to lean the way that I operate myself. So I have a franchise name. I picked it when I was 14 or 15, some long time ago. I picked it for a really stupid reason, but it has grown beyond what it was. And I do change it every single year based on movie titles. So I fit in my franchise name into a movie title. I think it's fun, it's entertaining, and I like it. But you should have a franchise name that you keep coming back to, that over time you establish a rapport with, you establish an emotional connection with. And then if you want to be, you know, the Weasel Whackers every single year, that's great. Or you can do what I do and fit it into something else. I will say, because he is a semi-frequent listener at the very least, I have always been really, really jealous of a guy in our league that uses a Pokemon theme, and his is always really, really fun and really good. So, Ethan, if you're listening, I've always been jealous of yours. I wish I had thought of Pokemon rather than movies. But
Shout out to the Poke franchise.
Poke franchise, indeed. How are you feeling, James? How should people pick their names?
Okay, so my opinion on it is the team name and the consistency around the team name is secondary to your team's identity. So you create how people should feel around your team and the feelings they get when they see your team name. And it can be something that changes every year, but I would do it like what you do. If you do change it every year, keep it around like a central theme. But make sure that when people see that name, and there's a question about logos too, if you have a consistent logo or whatever it is, they feel a certain way when they see it. So, Stu, when you see the Wild Stallions, or you hear someone say, "Get wild, go Stallions," I know that you just have this feeling of disgust.
I was going to say that feeling of vomit building up in the back of my throat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You feel all of this history and all of this anger, and that's how it should be. When you see someone's team name, you should have a feeling about it. So that is significantly more important than what the actual team name is. It's what the team name means. So, Stu, we are over our half hour point. We can either call it here, or you can ask one more question.
You need one more just to make it even.
There's some juicy ones in here.
The one that I was looking at was, can playing fantasy football with my friends hurt our relationship?
I was curious if you were going to ask this one. The answer, I wish I could say no, but that's absolutely not true. You absolutely can hurt your relationship with your friends through fantasy football. And if, as we've said before, if you look through like multiple fantasy football subreddits, you're going to see stuff all the time about people losing friends over fantasy football because of either a blatant disregard for the rules or collusion or bad commissioning. And in our own experiences, we've seen this kind of stuff happen too in our own leagues. I remember one night Stu and I were up till like, I don't know, 2 a.m. Arguing over the phone about some bad commissioning by me, I'd say. But absolutely you can. But having a good commissioner and being a good commissioner that doesn't allow BS is something that can definitely help maintain friendships. Because especially if you have money involved, there's a lot of ways you can screw people over with things that just aren't in the spirit of the game. So that's what I would say about that. Stu, do you have any more thoughts on that?
It absolutely can hurt your relationship with friends. You may lose friends over this silly, stupid game that we so love and play. But the true friends are the ones that you can get through it with. Like, the ability to both give and take the crap that people talk to each other, it's going to reveal those true friendships that are going to be lifelong friendships, or it's going to reveal those people that you might be better off not being friends with. And while that hurts, it just might be the impetus for you understanding that. But the true friends, the ones that you want to stick around, you're going to be able to get through silly arguments about fantasy football. I will say, you brought up money. You need to treat people honestly, please. Money going into anything always muddies the water. It makes it more interesting. It makes emotions higher, but you need to stay within yourself. Be of good character. You're not here to cheat people. You're here to have fun with your friends. And you shouldn't let money over something as stupid as fantasy football come in the way of your true friendships. So it's just, it's a fun activity for friends. Keep that mindset. Don't bet too much money on it because you're going to just make yourself a bad time. Like I think I have one or two leagues that are played for money and it's max of $20. I know that I would be way too serious about it and take it way too seriously if it was more money about it. Just know yourself. Nobody's going to know yourself better than you. Know your limitations. If money's cool with you, great, but do not let it just burn friendships for no reason whatsoever. It's a fun game. Keep it a fun game, James.
Well said, Stu. All right. I think that's going to do it for us for this FAQ episode. There are some questions we didn't get to. If you are a listener and you have a question that you would like us to answer, reach out to us on our socials. We are, I would say, most active on Instagram. We are also on X. We are reachable at fantasyfootbeer@gmail.com. You can read our print stuff on fantasyfootbeer.com. And with that, Stu, closing thoughts.
Yeah, usually those are my closing thoughts. I plug the socials. Just honestly, these half an hour episodes, it feels like it's over before it begins. But from everybody here at the Stu household, from Pixel, who is currently laying and purring in my lap, another good episode. We're looking forward to the draft. That should be really fun and interesting conversations going on there. Yeah, we're looking forward to it. James, take us home for the evening and get us started on the weekend.
Yeah, big episode next week talking about the draft. I got a lot of film to watch before then. NFL draft is always when hope springs eternal for football fans, not just fantasy football fans. So very exciting times. If you are a fan of a team with a big draft slot this year, get excited. You're going to the Super Bowl next year. So for all of us here at Fantasy Footbeer, for Dr. Michael Stewart, I would say for Indy the dog, but even though he's asleep behind me, this is one of the first episodes ever that it doesn't make any noise. But I'm James Kemp. Good night and good talk.